Welcome to the Seven Figure Leaders podcast. This podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners, and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. And there you'll find the link to apply. Welcome. And today we've got Phil Draper from 21 Engineering. Welcome, Phil.
Thank you. Good morning.
Pleasure to have you on as a guest. Why don't you give us a bit of background as to who you are and who you help in your business?
So I'm the MD at 21 Engineering. Started it in 2019, it is today. Background around FM engineering, trained electrician originally back in sort of 98, when I started my career. Quite a various career, touching on things from clean rooms, hydrogen, nitrogen, ammonia, those sort of things. Actually, across my apprenticeship, that really gave me that chance to have that industrial understanding of how buildings really work. Really enjoyed my time with British Lands, sort of spent 7 years directing with them after the whole of the Regional Space Council, sort of 3.5 years going for that way. Allowed me to really actually understand the other side, understand the client's needs. I think sometimes actually then being a consultant going for that way, seeing every angle, since that makes a huge difference in terms of how things work, how you understand things, because actually you've got the multiple approach of having done it, having designed it, and actually having managed it afterwards, allowed me to pick up what are the problems that everyone's trying to deal with, and actually I can relate it actually to my own experiences.
Okay, and so what exactly does 21 Engineering do? Who's your kind of target client, and what problem do you solve for them?
So we're probably actually a bit unusual for our clients. We support British Lands, Land Securities, Bupa, Brookfields, Wembley Stadium, Sibsi, and we sort of sit there actually and trying to give our operational experience to try and make things better. That could be actually from looking at from a day-to-day problem they might have to actually completing a net zero design from where they sit to try and deal with that way. Our key project to date has been British Lands head office, where we actually designed the boilers out and actually installed heat pumps in an operational building. We didn't touch anything actually onto the floor, which is quite unusual. And actually we've achieved a 20% reduction in costs, not just reduced the gas and electricity consumption from installing the heat pump. So that's a bit unusual as it sits. And today, I'm in the basement for another one of my clients, installing a water-to-water heat pump to recover heat from the retail loop in that way. So we really focus around how buildings operate and how we can recover energy as much as possible and reduce it and reduce the carbon.
Okay. And I imagine there's a lot of business for you at the moment and will be over the next few years as we buildings transition to becoming more sustainable.
There is. The hard bit is trying to get people to see the approach that we take in that way. We're not a traditional consultancy that look at from that sort of angle and spend years and years understanding it. We'll almost actually try and come in actually and work out, again, how the building's running, understand their costing plans, their maintenance regimes, going for that way and go, okay, actually, you're better off doing it in 3 years' time when that asset's due to be replaced. That way, actually reduce the capital cost in theory because they're already due to pay money out by doing the works. So we're trying to align ourselves actually with the operational building needs to maximize the asset replacements.
Yeah. Okay. And so perhaps we can dive into the journey you've actually been on as a business owner. So you transitioned from being an electrician in the early days, and then how did you end up starting your own business? And then we can go into the journey you've been on since then.
So I've never been diagnosed being on the spectrum, but I definitely am. In that way, I'm the sort of person that gets through and sets my own sort of targets, and once I've achieved it, I want the next one, going for that way. So I sort of came off the tools in my early 20s, actually become a factory service engineer at a place in Chelmsford. Spent a few years there and just got bored as it sits. I wanted to try and do more with it. I sort of got as much as I felt I could do at that time without progressing, that sort of situation. And that's when I joined a metering company, actually sort of 2008. At that point, then I was the only technical person I had in the UK, and our first big contract win was British Lands. So you can't really start much bigger than that way. And my job at that point then was just to understand everything that was going on, challenging that sort of way. And within sort of 2 years, I helped British Lands for his metering business to knock off 25% of their head office consumption. At that point, British Lands said, "Do you fancy a job?" I said, "Well, okay, I've not done that bit before. It's a bit new." at that point, and I think I mentioned this to you before, Tom, actually, the way I got my job at British Land, when they told me, Phil, you've not ever done a manager job before. And my way I actually get that sort of situation is when I was 19, I was a scout leader. And my answer to that question was, well, if I can manage a bunch of 10-year-olds and get respect out of them, I should be right with adults. And that sort of approach, understanding and sort of challenging the norm is why I felt I succeeded in British Lands. So I took over the Regent's Place campus for 3 years, going for that way. I got moved into an internal consultancy role, the whole of everything that Broadgate Estates they had were dealing with. And again, I got bored. I'm sat there thinking, actually, I really enjoy what I do, but why can't I help more people? And that sort of situation is like, right, okay, now I need to sort of go on my own. I need to challenge actually what I'm doing more. But at that point, it was never the ambition to actually have a larger business. The idea is, Phil, do what you do good, go in there and help people actually for a one-on-one sort of situation. Until the question comes, Phil, can you just do that bit extra? I can do it because I've done it. It's not a problem. What about that bit extra? And all of a sudden, I needed my first graduate going for that way. And all of a sudden, then we're up to 13 people in that sort of situation. So the transition actually to learning to be a manager helped me for where actually I was a manager before, understanding the people management process and those courses. But understanding the financial side is a very big difference. Yeah. Understanding more of a recruitment point of view, understanding actually where the next workload is coming from. Because one thing being a manager in a commercial building that you know that's going to stay there for the next 20 years. So actually understanding actually for business is actually, how do I find that next 75 grand to pay for that other person for their salary across the year? And that's always go for that approach. And one of the key things I've tried to do actually as a leader in my business is to show what we can do first. Is almost take that point as much actually I've been recognised now by Sibsy and other people that's been is quite good, but I've still got to show why I'm different from the industry. And I think that's actually why the 21 Dreams has been a bit more of a success, because I will actually put eventually where my money where my mouth is and say, right, I'll come in, I'll have a look for free, I'll give you some ideas where it is, right, let's move on to the next situation, let's go for that way. And that's almost helped me to develop a business to give that backstop and showing that we're not just people that say we can do it and rely on our historical reputation. The people that come in and guide our customers and say, well, look, this is how you do it from the first place, and work with them and worry about a relationship, not worry about an order.
Mm. And so when was it that you actually left British Land and started your business? And presumably, yeah, perhaps bringing down into that, so you started on your own. When did you bring on your first team members?
So left British Land's end of 2018, for that way. And actually, I had a short time period actually working for another consultancy that didn't work out that way. But by April 2019, I'm completely on my own going for that way. You know, big bad world of actually how do I bring in the work going for that way. Obviously, then March 2020, we had that small incident called COVID. And that was a real big shock going for that way. But luckily, where I had started making inroads because of my old bosses going for that way, and I had the trust in trying to do things differently. And actually, I managed to win a work with them actually doing some air handler up refurbishments using some subcontractors, and that sort of got me through COVID. By June 2020, I needed that second person. Yeah. I needed actually bring in the first graduate going for that way, and that allowed me to sort of delegate and pass through. And actually, we've had more graduates or young people employed through the business, and we've had older people more experienced because I want to try and instill the right culture into the people. And I think for me, that's one of the key things. So before 21 years can really grow, I need to actually make sure, and I'm starting to get that now, is getting the right people who've got the right ethos of if we can do it and how we go about doing it.
And how was it to make that, or those first few hires? Because obviously when you make those first few hires, or when you hire anyone really, it's almost a chicken or the egg situation where you've got to make sure you've got enough business coming in to cash flow the employees. Otherwise you end up just making a loss for the first however many months it takes to generate enough business.
I think the aspect is I understood what my worth was. So actually when I set up my day rate and my costs, but obviously I wasn't greedy in what I paid for myself. So that point for me was more worried about actually making sure that I've got the longevity of the business and I've got the right cash flow before actually I started jumping. And obviously that then helped me by bringing on a graduate, obviously a graduate's salary is an awful hour, it allowed me to instill and delegate the right tasks at the right time. And that was a real big, it was a lot easier for me to bring on that second person when you're only trying to find 30k a year all in, rather than you're trying to find 80 or 90k. I didn't want to double me. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to actually instill my culture into the next person and hopefully and see them succeed.
Okay, great. And so run us through what's been happening since then. How's the business look today and what's the journey you've been on since 2020? You made that first time.
So as I said, we're up to 13 employees now going for that way. Mixture between electricians, technicians, engineers, obviously back of house staff going for that way. We support as a maintenance function. We do designs, we do evaluation, we do metering stalls. And I think one of the key things we focus on building off of is relationships with clients and suppliers. So we're always at the forefront of how technology works. And I think that's the other side of being a leader, is not waiting to be led by other stuff. And I always actually like to understand, and I try to work with suppliers as well about actually what they do, how they go about it in that way, to make sure that I'm feeding back into the industry. So actually try and make sure that works. Big step for us was Christmas 23. We actually brought our head office, and actually I want to try and actually put our ethos and where we work. So we're now expected, with our solar panels, heat pump, fully electrified building, we should be 80% carbon neutral for the office with actually the solar panel generation. So we're trying to work out how next year we can get that to be 110% going for that way. We pride ourselves, we bring our clients to our office. They can really see what we've done, how we go about it. They can see where the passion stems from in that way, where it's not just Phil, it's your Julian, the Michaels, the Lisa's, all these people actually going down the line. And they can see actually how we've installed it ourselves as well. That gives them that reassurance that we can, if we do it in our own office, we're good enough to do it in theirs.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And so how have you got things structured? So obviously you're in charge. How have you divided up the roles across the team in terms of an org structure?
So that's when I bring in a manager straight underneath me, going for that way. Unfortunately, I can't step away from not working, because there's always the guidance, there's the own tasks that might not come up more regularly enough that I can't delegate it through. But eventually I've actually then got my engineering manager. I've been sit there, Lisa, and she actually drives actually all the day-to-day activities between actually who's where, who's doing what, the permits, the ordering the parts, the bits and pieces. I've got Julian, a senior mechanical guy. He'll pick up that sort of guy. And actually, I then got Andrew at the moment. She's my wife, the other director. She's looking after the day-to-day installation side and the project points of where it sits in that way. So it allows me to sort of pick up the phone for the technical questions, but actually move away from the day-to-day time consuming bit, because actually that's where there's not as much value, and probably actually not where my strength is in that way. My strength is being an engineer, not being a director.
Yeah. And so do you build your clients on like a day rate based on how much of your team's time goes into it, or how does that work?
I think in terms of costing it, you've got to work that way. But again, it'll come back down on terms of what is it you're after? What is it, Mr. Kant? Do you actually want to pay for X amount of days? Do you actually want to pay for a turnkey job? Do you want it to design and build job? What is it you're after? And obviously we'll fill in the needs, because we're trying to sit there more than just a consultancy. And we're trying to actually deliver turnkey projects as well for them, where it's lighting, metering, heat pump projects, those bits and pieces. There's lots of different avenues and different ways that clients want it priced.
Okay, excellent. And you touched on pricing there. So we touched on this last time we spoke. You, in terms of how you structure your finance function, so you've got an accountant and you've got a bookkeeper. Yep. And do you have anyone that supports you with things like pricing decisions, profitability, support, cash flow?
So everything for the day-to-day costings all sits with me still. It goes that way. I have input actually from Julian and Angela and Lisa in terms of actually getting things bit together, but ultimately the responsibility sits with me. Sort of 7 or 8 years ago, I created my own Excel pricing sheet with all my VLOOKUPs and all my items going for that way. It allows me to put my raw costs and my margins, and it actually works out the cost from there. That as it sits, so that all happens way before it goes onto the accounting software going for that way. So I've got far more accountability. It allows me to track all the hours and the times from the parts and make sure that we're doing what we need to do. And obviously is we're not profit driven, but we have to make money.
Yeah, fair enough. And what's next for the business? What are the plans or the ambitions for the next few years?
So we've just brought a maintenance business alongside actually my old boss at British Land. So a company called Cavendish. The idea actually is trying to get a bit more structure between who does what, to make sure there's different responsibilities. So everyone's got a different skill set. So obviously then Rob can sit there and drive Cavendish, but I can support them technically with innovation, those bits and pieces. We actually want to start doing more day-to-day support. But I think the key thing we want to try and do is actually upskill the industry. We actually want to start working on, you know, the sort of tagline is right skill, right job. So actually where you're sending the right person there. So we're trying to work out how we can upskill my team in the right position or upskill the clients in the right position to actually make sure that they're doing their bit. So again, the idea here is to have 20, 25 year relationships with people, filling their gaps, not necessarily actually doing the work for them.
Mm. And what does that mean client-wise? Are you going to be going after bigger clients, or is it more?
I think we've struggled to find any bigger than Wembley Stadium, Landsec, British Land, and Bupa in terms of where the industry sits in that way. So I think the idea actually is to maximise relationships we've got and make sure we're doing the right thing with them. sits in that way. At the moment, I think anyone sat in a business that's 6-7 years old having that clientele would have a relationship. So this is not a case we sat there, we're changing a couple of plug sockets. As I said, we're doing design responsibilities for these clients, and we're taking it all on. We're talking to the top people to making it a two-way conversation with these people. So yeah, the more we can get, the better it is.
And so what advice would you have for, could be the younger version of yourself or anyone in your shoes, let's say in 2018, when they're about to leave and start their own business?
I think that the hardest bit I had was not having confidence in myself. I think obviously being client side or having that security work from someone else is having that understanding to know what you're good enough to do, focus on what you can go, don't get too ambitious in terms of actually where you should be, and trying to focus actually on getting a stable clientele rather than chasing the money.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So we'll make it very easy for anyone to get in touch with you. Who are you looking for connections with? So who in the B2B business owner space might be able to support you in growing your business, or might you be able to support in return? What does that person look like?
So from a day-to-day point of view, we're after innovation from any way. It could be from a technology to improve the client's energy, or actually it could be a better software for us to improve how we send our employees around, how we do our health and safety, how we do our compliance in that way. But for us to actually try and grow the business, we want to work with anyone that actually wants to help, or might not know what they want to help. They want someone that's got that raw passion, that wants to have a relationship to improve themselves. We want to work with them. Mm. We're not keen to work with people that want a snapshot going for that way. We want that relationship. We want to see the pride of seeing improvement.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, like I said, we'll make it very easy for anyone to get in touch with you. But thank you for coming on as a guest. Anything else you want to share?
No, thank you for the opportunity. And hopefully the fact that if anyone actually does want some help or guidance, mentoring, I'm happy to help.
Great. Thanks very much. Phil Draper from 21 Engineering.
Thanks for listening. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, this podcast was created to celebrate the success stories of seven-figure business owners, giving them a platform to share their insights and lessons learned in order to inspire other business owners. As well as that, it's an opportunity to build new connections. So if you're a seven-figure business owner or someone who works with seven-figure business owners and you're looking for introductions to potential stakeholders, strategic partners, and clients, I'd love to hear from you or have you on as a guest and see if I can help make those connections for you. Just go to synergycfosolutions.co. That's synergycfosolutions.co and click podcast. On that page, you'll find the link to apply.